Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, January 15th, 2023, and my guest today are two of the best, and the rest, it's... I'll let you all guess which two are the best. Trey Gallion, Sam Levine, and Dan Peralt. Hello, fellas.
Hey,
Doug.
Let's meet y'all individually and alphabetically by first name. Co-creator, I hope I'm saying that right, of American Vandal and Players. Back
correct.
After his first appearance last summer in San Diego. I get all of that right?
All good. All good so far.
It's Dan Peralt. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Doug. It's good to be back.
Players is on DVD?
It's on DVD as well as Blu-ray, like the better DVD. And
right.
And still on Paramount Plus, so viewable in three different formats.
I love it. But the DVD Blu-ray was a recent development.
Yes.
Because someone from your team or Paramount Plus or somewhere reached out to me and was like, hey, we would like to see if you're interested in having Dan Peralt on your show to talk about Players being available in another format. And I was like, yeah, I'll call him. I'll go ask him. He's been on before. So happy to have you back. And in addition to plugging Players, we should talk a little bit more about Players.
Sure.
Sam Levine, have you seen this show?
You know, I haven't.
Oh, Sam, it's right up your alley. It's about professional teams of gamers.
Oh.
And I know what a gamer you are.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about you the whole time I was watching the premiere episode of The Last of Us.
Yep.
I was like, Sam would love this. He's such a gamer.
Yeah.
But seriously, the show is really like you really get in that world. Like, did you yourself, Dan, have to be much of a gamer to create this thing?
You know, I was sort of a casual gamer. I'm mostly a console gamer. And then Tony, my co-creator, and I, we love sports. We love documentaries. And following American Vandal, our first mockumentary, we knew we wanted to do a sports mockumentary. And so at that point, it became a question of, well, what sport would be something that initially you don't feel like you're going to care about, but hopefully by the end, you're unironically rooting for this team that you were kind of laughing at the beginning. And esports just checked so many boxes for us. And then honestly, I went to a League of Legends All-Star event, which included like so many different people from the community. And it was that event that I'm like, this has to be a League show. And no, I didn't know anything about League of Legends. I think I'd heard it in passing, but really it was that like live appearance I went to where I'm like, all right, this is our show. And I have a shit ton of research to do to make this work.
Well, you know, if you're going to stay in that area and you want to go into a more physical sport, I recommend, what do they call it? Speed tag or something like that, where two dudes try to tag each other, but there's like obstacles.
Oh, I mean, I would love to play that.
It is wild. Well, I don't think you'd like to play it because it looks really like the guys are really good at jumping over like these metal bars. It's kind of like parkour meets tag. And when people wipe out, it's so violent because they just, you know, they hit their head on something, you know.
In what form are you watching this? Is this like is there a YouTube channel I can go to? Is this already?
I'm sure there's tons of YouTube of it, but I catch it because I'm sitting around hotel rooms on weekends and there's, you know, 7 ESPN channels and one movie channel. So I can't find a movie I like. So I end up watching sports. And lately I've been getting into that. And also they've been showing a lot of cornhole is like becoming like bigger. And pickleball, like these weird ass sports are really like gaining more momentum. But also the way they treat them, all of the commentators, everything is just, there's all this language around these games that I've just heard about. And then you're watching it and it's like, it's been around for a million years because the commentators are so into it that they know all the jargon, you know?
That's just the beauty of ESPN too. Like growing up as a bored kid where ESPN was always on, that's what you want ESPN 2 to be, is people going nuts for hot dog eating and weird stuff like that.
Oh my God, today, when we got into the, I'm in a hotel right now. And when I got into the room today, I flipped on the TV and ESPN had a slippery steps competition. And this is where people in head to toe, like body wear, like latex, like almost like athletic gear or whatever, they're head to toe in that. And then they have to climb these plastic stairs that they look like ice, but it's not ice, but they've been looped. These stairs have been looped. The people have been looped. And while they're trying to climb these stairs, that every time they like slip, they slide down a staircase, essentially. The whole time they're climbing, people are spraying lube at them and throwing like a beach ball, like balls, like throwing balls at them while they're trying to climb these slippery steps. And that was a sport this morning on ESPN.
So is this basically professional Wipeout? Because that's exactly what I think Wipeout is, the ABC show, right?
Yeah, but they're trying to get from obstacle to obstacle. This is just straight up a set of steps. It looks like the kind of like the slide you go down in a gunny sack at a carnival.
Yes.
And it's that format of it's pretty steep and the steps are kind of little. So they're hard to grab onto. Like it's literally these people just crawling up these very slippery steps, see who can get there first. And they're even allowed to pull each other back. You're even allowed to like push somebody back. And it was, you know, it was like, and also they had like these 16-year-old girls doing it. So I don't really know, I don't think they're pro necessarily, but I could go on forever about these things and already have. Thank you for being here, Dan. Everybody watch Players wherever you can watch it. Our next guest today is, I went into the archives and counted it up. I did the work here. And he is the winningest guest in the history of this show.
Oh, no. Not hard to believe.
How's that possible?
Easily possible.
Well, you know, it's kind of like my record on that show At Midnight. I was on it more than everybody else, so it was easier to have more wins,
I guess.
It's Sam the Man Levine, everybody, aka all that other stuff. How's married life treating you, buddy?
It's terrific. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah,
it's great. You know, she puts up with me. What more can I ask for?
I got so, you know, you're still married, so it must be going great.
No, things are going great. Yeah.
Yeah. Must be awesome. Speaking of things that are going great, mm-hmm. our next guest is a man who shocked everyone by beating two formidable opponents on his last appearance. It's Trey Galyon.
I'm still reeling from that. Like, I can't believe that I won also.
Right? You've been a dangling champ now. That's what I call people that are won an episode but then don't come back right away. So you've been out there dangling for a couple of weeks. Do people treat you differently? Do you have a different attitude?
Yeah, I've gotten stopped in Trader Joe's in the last couple of weeks while I was grabbing some Impossible Nuggets. You know, had a woman come up behind me and she was like, "You're the guy that never wins on Doug Loves Movies." And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "You won." And I was like, "I know, right?" And then
I know you're kidding, but like, you must get recognized by your voice sometimes. You know, like you must have somebody occasionally go, "Hey, I think I've heard you on a podcast or something." Cause you know what I mean? Like, well, cause once you start speaking, it's definitely you, you know?
That bartender here in New York, that's how she recognized me. Like it was my neighborhood bar, and
yes, I knew something like that happened.
Right. And I'd go in all the time and talk to her because it was on my block, you know, and she worked during the day. And so I'd go down there and hang out during the day and talk with her and everything. And then one day she finally put it together, and I was walking by and I waved to her and she came running out and she was like, "Dude, you're on Doug Loves Movies." And I was like, "Yeah, totally. I totally am."
Yeah, you are. And now, you know, just a force. We'll see how you do today. Against Dan and Sam. It's a strong lineup.
Yeah, I'm hoping they both lock up.
Now, Dan, you mentioned you're the co-creator of this shows you've created, Tony Yacenda.
Yes.
And is being on Doug Loves Movies something he'd be interested in, or is he not a trivia guy or whatever?
Oh, he would love that. I didn't know, like, do you ever have, like, a duo team option? Has that been done in the history of Doug Loves Movies? Or I could face off against him, whatever you want.
It's happened because we've had, you know, I've had contestants that are just so bad that they need a second person to help them, to sort of guide them. You know, your Tig Notaros, your Bert Kreischer's, but I'm not going to name names. The point is... that some people are absolutely fucking horrible at these games. and those are two of them. But asking you because I haven't had the exchange with him where, you know, I haven't had the chance to ask him if he wants to do it. And so I'm basically asking through you because I'd love to have him on sometime. And it doesn't have to be with you. It could be, you know, separate or, you know, together, whatever.
But I would love nothing more, but I do have a question for you. Did that come as a result of like, that would be interesting, or because I was so bad the first episode?
I wonder what if Tony's a better guest than this guy. What I was thinking the whole time, like, why did I ask this guy to do it? No, I was just excited that the two of you seemed to be familiar with me in the show. And then it just worked out that you ended up doing it. But cause I sometimes you just like, every time I meet like a few people together, just because somebody likes the show doesn't necessarily mean they want to be on it because of the aforementioned trivia. Some people are really racked with nerves and frustration over this kind of these stupid games. But another thing that some guests might be worried about is I like to ask everybody to recommend a movie and I change up the permutations, the limitations of what you can recommend. And in this case, I've been asking people for the month of January for a resolution movie, which is a movie you've always meant to see. And now in 2023, you're going to, you know, commit and get her done. Because also I'm going to reach out occasionally and go, "Have you watched it yet?" I'm going to follow up.
I love that.
Like, cause like the last episode, people were like, "I've never seen The Matrix. I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life." And I'm like, well, both of you people need to get your lives together and just fucking sit down and watch those classics and get it over with. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't end up enjoying it, it's still like such a weird hole to have, especially if you're a person that likes movies, to have not seen something like The Matrix, you know? You don't have to watch all of them, obviously. But does one come to mind for you, Dan? Have you thought of a movie that's really missing from your movie experience?
I mean, I'm going to give you a very literal, calculated response, which is, as you were speaking, I went on Letterboxd, and you know, you know how you can sort by your watch list, and you can sort by advanced rated. So what Letterboxd is telling me is the best movie on my watch list that I have not watched is 12 Angry Men. Now, I would not have said that out of the blue. I would have probably said The Thing if I'm going with my heart. But if I'm going with like a sort of, as I said, calculated what this website's telling me, it's I'll watch both. I'll watch 12 Angry Men and I'll watch The Thing back to back as they were intended to be viewed.
Oh, I like it. But you, for our purposes today, you just have to pick one. I want to push you to, you're talking John Carpenter's The Thing, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
There's been three versions now. There's the original black and white one where The Thing just sort of looked like a big vegetable or something, like a carrot. And then John Carpenter's The Thing, which has some of the most awesome practical creature effects in the history of cinema. And then they made another one recently, but I didn't think it was a bad movie, but you know, I don't know why they bothered to remake it.
Well, I've also heard that, and I know very little about it, but I've also heard that the follow-up to The Thing is a prequel. Like John Carpenter did a prequel, I think. And that
he did.
What is the second? So I'm in for the whole thing franchise. I'll start as I'm supposed to with the first one, but I heard that the second one is a prequel that sort of seamlessly lines up with the beginning of the first. I could be completely wrong about that.
I can jump in and answer that. So the sequel of sorts that we're talking about is from 2011.
And okay.
That's supposed to be the prequel to the 82, The Thing.
Got it.
He what they get call any it. What was that, it called?
It's also called The Thing.
It is.
Yeah. Very confusing.
I mean, so both take place on Antarctica, I believe. At least the 82 one for sure does. And mm-hmm. It begins with a dog running away from a different, settlement group. I don't know what they call it.
Right.
Yeah, group of scientists or whatever. And we don't know that story. We only know the story after the dog arrives with, you know, our cast. So the 2011 one, which I've not seen, it's the story of how the dog, when everything happens at that, with that group leading up to the dog running away.
I see. So it's kind of a prequel, but it, not really, because it's just essentially a similar story and setting, but like none of the same characters.
I believe so.
Yeah, because everybody in that. Yeah. All right. Might be worth checking out. But John Carpenter's The Thing is definitely something you should see, Dan. And you should see 12 Angry Men, but I'm not really... That's not something I would. It's a strong, well-made drama with 12 great actors, you know, just sitting around arguing about, you know, it's jury duty, basically. Yeah. Jury duty, the movie. Sam, what's your resolution movie? What should you watch that you've never seen?
Honestly, I was not prepared for this question, Doug.
No, nobody can ever be.
No. And I'm old school. I still have a satellite. So I love flipping around, seeing what's on the boob tube, as they call it. Everyone still calls it that, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a movie that keeps popping up. And every time I see it, I think to myself, oh, I want to watch that one of these days. And it's also a movie that's been around for over 10 years now. And I've never gotten around to watching it. And it's got many friends of ours in it. And that's one of the reasons why I always think, oh, I really should watch this movie. And just last night, I almost watched it, but then didn't. And that movie is Friends with Kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's Sam, that's your way of saying I've seen every important movie.
I've seen every important movie. No, there's others that I'm missing, but that was, you caught me unprepared. And that was in my brain.
I'm looking for a movie that, like, if you said to someone, I've never seen Friends with Kids, their response wouldn't be like, why are you even saying this to me? Right. Like, why do I care?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a classic.
I
not a movie that just had a bunch of our friends in it that's sure. Got mixed reviews.
I think a couple years ago I sat down and like I looked at like the AFI like top 250 and I'd seen all of them.
Oh my god. So, all right, we'll stay with Friends with Kids because I do appreciate, you know, that it's got John Hamm and Adam Scott in it. I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I saw it. I definitely saw it. All right, Trey. I mean, Trey wouldn't name a movie called Friends with Kids because he doesn't even want to have friends with kids.
I have friends with some lovely kids and friends with some really horrible kids, too.
All right, good. I just know that you're against children in bars.
Yes, very much so, which happened again the other night. It was, and Coco just stared at me. As soon as the kids walked in, she just stared at me to see what my reaction was going to be.
You held it together?
Yeah, well, the one kid came walking over and like was doing the yelling thing around the bar where he just like, bah, bah. And he came up to our table and yelled. And I was like, yo, you want to grab your thing? And Coco kind of was like, hey, that's enough of that. I was like, fair, but, you know, grab their thing. Get it out of here.
Yeah. You just, you got a thing on the brain now, thanks to Dan's choice. What do you think, Trey, is a movie you need to see?
I knocked a big one off the list actually this last year with Citizen Kane.
Is big.
Yeah. And that was also big because then it was like, you know, entire episodes of The Simpsons were more funny then.
Right. Well, that's the thing about Citizen Kane, though, to me, is like, as much as I enjoy it and I do think it's, you know, it's rightfully called one of the best movies ever made, I wouldn't go up to a, you know, a younger person and be like, you really need to see this. You know, like, I feel like there's stuff that's, you know, more important as far as, you know, just seeing the good stuff. But it is good, though, right? You liked it?
Yeah, but for sure, you know, knock out Dazed and Confused and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and stuff like that first.
Yeah, the real classics.
Right, and then work your way back, you know?
So what's one you haven't seen?
Well, that's a really good question, man.
Is it hard to even think of movies you haven't seen? Because why would you even be aware of them? You haven't seen them.
Right, exactly. Plus, also, it's like I said, it was like Citizen Kane was the one that was at the top of my list for so long. You know, just from hearing other people talk about it, not from people even bugging me to watch it. And then it was finally like, all right, I got to watch this thing.
Yeah. But like, for me, a big one that I've never watched beginning to end, and I intend to keep it that way because I just not about what it represents is Gone with the Wind.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that's definitely on my I've never seen. I've seen it in bits and pizzas, like, you know, if mom's watching it when you walk in or whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could have watched it in bits and pizzas.
It's bring a lunch and a snack. It's a long one.
Yeah, it's long.
Is it a musical too?
No, it's not a musical.
Okay, then that's even okay.
No, it's, you know, Rhett Butler is played by what's his name, Clark Gable, and he's, you know, a real manly man who doesn't give a damn.
Right at the very end, that's what he says. I
only know the last line. If you adjust for inflation, it's considered the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, because everybody saw it, but they all paid a nickel.
Yeah,
50 cents or whatever it was,
for a nickel almost, except for Avatar.
That's why, yeah, you're Trey Galleon's hanging out down at the Nickelodeon again because he just see anything for nickel.
I'd say Giant because I've seen Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, that's a perfect one.
But I haven't seen Giant.
Yeah, that's a perfect one because, you know, and what about East of Eden? I mean, you might as well, if you could see in a person's entire filmography with just three movies, you might as well knock out all three James Dean movies, you know.
Oh wait, and then East of Eden, that was Marilyn Monroe in that one too.
Mm-mm.
No, she was in the one that they were filming when he died, right?
Mm-mm.
No, okay, never
mind. Maybe I don't think I think they were filming Giant when he died.
Oh yeah, okay,
yeah, I think he had shot enough of his stuff that they were able to make it work, I think.
Marilyn Monroe just popped into my head.
I don't think he has a fourth movie. Well, it's funny. We were just talking about Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe were doing a movie together called The Misfits, I think, that didn't get finished because she died.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe it was she died.
but I'm also not positive about that.
He definitely died while they were shooting Giant, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are great. Those three. Well, two of those. Well, okay.
That's not. There's
great
no
job. Great job, Sam, seeing everything. And, I guess that explains why you're so good at these games. That when people say to me, "How? Why is Sam so good at that?" I'm gonna say because the only movie he hasn't seen is Friends with Kids. And when did that come out? All right, we got to go to a commercial break, and then we're gonna play some games. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. And sorry for that one being a little extra long. Sam had to go do something. Thank you, everybody, for enduring those commercials to enjoy this free content. And now we're going to play a game that I just invented. It's a fresh one. And it's called Avatar-tar.
Oh, no.
I just mostly just try to come up with names for things that are going to make Sam laugh. And Avatar-tar is confronting the fact that we have two motion pictures with the word tar in the title in theaters now. Avatar, The Way of Water, and Tar, T-A-R, about Lydia Tar. That's a movie I haven't seen yet, but I wouldn't call that, you know, a resolution movie. It's just something
that's my favorite movie of the year, Doug.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting. Sounds like somebody didn't see Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, I saw it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, but
okay, good.
For me.
Okay, because there's too many people that refer to that movie as best picture material, and I do not see it for me personally.
Neither. I'm still bummed about the Kelly McGillis thing.
Oh, right, the way they murdered her so she couldn't be in it.
Yeah, like you couldn't find something for her to do.
That'd be just so funny if she's just like working like at a bar or something and Tom Cruise just goes in and goes, "Hey, let me give you an update on how great my life is going." Because is she supposed to be dead? Like, what's she supposed to be in Top Gun Maverick?
I don't remember them addressing it at all. It was just like he just doesn't have Jennifer that girlfriend. Connelly. Isn't she cute?
Yeah. I mean, it's 30 years later. So, of course, he doesn't still have the same girlfriend unless he, you know, married her. And that obviously wasn't where that relationship was going.
Well, how do you know that could have been a great American love story is how they ended
it, you know, all of their dates were like just how often can you be on the back of a motorcycle at sunset before you get sick of it?
Or chasing each other through the streets of Oceanside, California.
They did that?
Right. Yeah. Remember when she's flying in her little Porsche Boxster?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I feel bad bringing up my feelings about Top Gun Maverick because people love it so much, and I don't want to take anybody's joy away. But it's just a bunch of planes flying around. They don't even have. There's not even a villain or an enemy.
Well, there is. But
you just don't know who it
is. It's very strategic how they decided to portray the enemy.
Exactly. Okay, so this game, Avatar, here's how it works. Dan's going to go first, and then Sam, and then Trey. But, you know, from there, anything can happen. Because, Dan, I'm going to give you a fun fact that applies to Avatar, Way of Water, or Tar, or neither. And you have to guess which one. And if you get it wrong, then Sam gets a chance. And if Sam gets it wrong, and Trey's been paying attention, he gets the gimme point. Whenever somebody gets a point, the next round starts with the next person in line. Good luck, everybody. Dan, Tar or Avatar or neither used the audio of screams from the movie The Blair Witch Project?
Having not seen Tar, but having seen Avatar,
Is there screaming in Avatar?
There has to be. There's destruction and fire, like natural scenarios for screams to happen. But would James Cameron, I don't think Cameron's the kind of guy to sample that. But it's one of those things where it's too weird to not be true. So I'm gonna say it applies to Tar.
That is correct.
I'm surprised.
Sam, were you on the same wavelength there?
I certainly was. In fact, I thought I even remembered it from Tar, which I've seen twice.
Oh, right. You're such a Tar head.
I said it's my favorite movie of the year.
This is going to work out good for you, maybe, because I just thought, like, you know, Trey, you haven't seen Tar, right?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
I have no clue.
It's Cate Blanchett plays a conductor, like a famous, successful, fancy conductor in a very long movie that Sam's seen twice.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is it another like 3 hour one?
It's not quite three hours.
I think it's like 2:40. 2:38 or 40. Yeah. But I do like some probably 7 minutes if you want to dip then. But the point is that it's funny to me that there are screams in Tar that were lifted from another horror movie, because screaming is not what I thought would happen in Tar, and I haven't seen it yet. All right. Sam, you're up first on this next one.
Okay.
And again, you know, we were just talking about the length, so you have an inside track on the length of Tar here.
Okay.
Is longer than Avengers Endgame, Avatar, Tar, or neither?
So you're asking if either of those movies is longer than Endgame?
Yeah, or neither of them, yeah.
Oh, okay. Avatar.
One or both. What?
I'm going to say Avatar is longer than Endgame.
That is correct. 3 hours, 12 minutes.
Oof.
Yeah, and then Endgame is 3 hours and 1 minute, and Tar is 2:38, as previously mentioned.
That's including credit scenes.
Trey, both these guys are on the board, so you have to get this one.
And I was hoping this was going to be a game where it was movies that have the word Tar in them. And I was just going to rattle through all the Star Wars movies. I had it all planned out.
Yeah, Star does have Tar in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Trey.
Yep.
Has a character in it named Sharon Goodnow. Is that Tar, Avatar, or neither?
Well, I don't think it's Avatar because they got weird names in Avatar, right? So I'm going to go with Tar.
You think the last name Goodnow is not a weird name?
Well, that wasn't the question, though. The question was, do I think that's a character in one of those movies?
Right. And you said the names in Avatar are weird.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I'm asking you if Goodnow is a normal last name.
I mean, fairly for Earth.
Yeah, you're right. It's Tar. I might be pretty good too. Sam, am I saying it right?
I don't know that we really hear her last name that much. I know the character you're talking about. It's Nina.
Yeah. And they just call her Sharon.
Nina Hoss plays Sharon.
Okay. All right, Dan, you're up. Everybody's got a point. Dan, Avatar 2, Tar or Neither, someone says the word buttholes.
Oh, I think I got this. I remember there were some really bad insults, in my opinion, in Avatar 2.
Oh, really? The writing in a James Cameron movie, a little substandard?
I'm going to say the kid, the human kid who wore the mask, that kid definitely insulted one of his buddies using the word buttholes.
Now that you mention it, I think the kid in Terminator 2, I think he says buttholes.
Does he?
And you're right. I think that James Cameron, that buttholes for him is a go-to like swear word that's not really a swear word.
Yeah, it's like his Easter egg, you know?
I wish that every James Cameron movie gave us the opportunity to search for buttholes.
Awesome.
But I don't think I don't feel like Aliens or Titanic has any butthole.
Do you think I would love it if it's in Titanic somewhere?
Avatar 4, the search for buttholes.
I mean, it's just so funny that that man wrote down, typed or whatever, the word buttholes. Like, what a weird. I mean, I know it's a kid character, I guess, saying it. So I didn't realize that. That's the fun thing about this game is I put it together without having seen either of these films. So I have no idea. I mean, I have some ideas, obviously, but all right. So who got that one? Dan got that one. All right, Sam, you're up.
Oh boy.
Includes the line. It's either Avatar, Tar, or Neither. Includes the line. Someone needs to learn how to conduct themselves.
I just like. let's see. I'm racking my brain.
You didn't see both though. You haven't seen Avatar?
I have seen Avatar.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
You should remember if anybody said that.
I think the answer is neither.
You're going neither?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be silly for someone to say it in Tar because she's a conductor.
Yeah.
So that would just be ridiculous.
I agree.
That's why you laughed.
I did laugh.
When I said it.
Because you said it. It was very on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is in me. I would have been so happy. Personally, I would have been so happy if somebody managed to say something like that in Avatar. That would have been a good trick question.
It would have been a great trick question.
Yeah. All right. So we came down. Those were all of the rounds. Like everybody did such a great job of getting the right answer, like on the first try, that it didn't move around much. So, unfortunately, Trey, because Dan and Sam were so smart, and I'm sorry to you too, Sam, because this is the tiebreaker, and Dan gets to go first. If Dan misses it, then Sam gets a shot. If Sam misses it, then Trey. You'd be tying it up basically, so it's a little too late.
Get a shot.
Yeah, it just didn't. I really thought things would get passed around a little more, but everybody did a great job on this one. So Dan, features the line "Hope dies last." Is that Avatar, Tar, or Neither?
Hope dies last.
Yeah.
I do think the tiebreaker is the hardest question of this round. Guys, last. I'm gonna go with neither, but it's a close call. I'm gonna go with neither.
Neither is incorrect.
Ah,
boy.
Sam,
come on, Sam.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm really. I. All right. I'm going to say Tar.
You're going Tar?
Yeah, I'm going Tar.
You saw it twice.
I did see it twice, and that's the only reason it's ever so slightly ringing a bell, so I'll say Tar.
It's a short-ass line. So, somebody could have just went, hope dies last. Maybe you're busy looking at something else or thinking about how great your marriage is going. It is Tar. It's from Tar.
Oh, wow.
Sam is our winner of that game. Doesn't mean much. Just means
thanks, Doug.
No, I mean it means a lot. It just, you know, in terms of showing off your skills, but in terms of our games today, it just means you get to go first in our last game. And as you, of course, know better than anybody, it's not always an advantage to go first.
I do.
And we'll find out whether it is or is not an advantage when we come back right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back and Sam Levine is in the catbird seat. He gets to go first in our second and final and crucial game. And that game is called The Little Search Engine That Could.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And this is where I type a word into the IMDb search engine and then write down the films that come up in order. In this case, I've written down six titles that have the word in them. I'll tell you the word, and then Sam gets to go first. And Trey, I'm sorry, but we flipped the order around, so it goes Sam, then Dan, then you.
Right, of course it does. Yeah,
yeah, that's cool. It's all arbitrary, but also seems to be working out perfectly for everybody but you. And
hey, man, you know I roll with it.
You do. That's what we love about you. So, but you know, this is anybody's game because this is, you know, the algorithm on IMDb is just based on popularity of, you know, just popularity in the time and the moment that I type in the word. And since we just rang in a new year, the word is no, I'm kidding. The word is ring. It comes up in a lot of titles, movies and television. Of course, we're just doing the movies. I've written down the top six movies on the IMDb list that have the word ring in them. Sam gets to guess first, then Dan, then Trey, then we repeat that same order two more times. You each get three guesses. And we'll see. I don't think you will. My guess is that you will not uncover all six answers with your nine guesses. Sam, what do you think?
Question. When you do this, because I can't remember how we played it before, if there's like TV stuff that comes up, do you discount that? Or is that a
answer.
Potential answer?
Answer. No questions at this time. No. TV shows are filtered into it. Right. They're, you know, they're in the list, but I skip them when discerning the order.
Okay.
You know, so if there's a TV show as we're ringing, it could be in there, but we've put that aside. Okay. And just listed the films with the word ring.
Okay, thank you.
You know, this is like what Trey was hoping for with that last game, that he just had to find words that have tar, you know, movies that have the word tar in them.
Yeah. Well, this is the game. I mean, I won on this last episode, so.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
See, that's what makes it an anything can happen game. What do you think, Sam?
Okay, well, based on your answer of my question, I'm going to say The Ring, starring Naomi Watts.
Number three on the list.
Okay.
And to let you know, points-wise, how that works is that number three is worth 4 points because number one is worth six and number six is worth one. So Sam is on the board with 4 points and The Ring from 2002 starring Naomi Watts based on Japanese IP. Dan.
You know, the ring was definitely going to be all of our first answer. So with that out off the board, I got to go with the only other movie I can think of with ring in it, which is the Bling Ring.
Ooh. A Bling Ring. Good turns answer. Out number four on the list. You can't hear the word ring and be thinking about movies without thinking of Bling Ring. It's just such a such a catchy title and a true life crime group or whatever. So that's worth 3 points for you, Dan.
Cool.
Nice work. Trey?
Are you guys messing with me?
What do you mean? Oh, I see what you mean. I think I do know what you mean. That both Dan and Sam seem to be behaving as if their answers were the most obvious ones.
Right.
And you've thought of something that's even more obvious.
Well, especially considering like where you would place it on a list of IMDb. Okay. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Now, here's the question I have for you. How much do you, I want you to say the exactly correct title. So are you sticking with that answer?
Oh, no. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Now I want you to get the exactly right answer. So are you sticking with that answer?
Oh my gosh.
You got it right the first time. Okay. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring is number one.
Oh, wow. Right. Well, all right. I'll have to ask my follow-up question. All right.
6 points. Oh, can it have the word ring in it twice? Yes, it can.
No, that was not. Well, we're talking about it now. I assumed Rings of Power, the Amazon Lord of the Rings series, would have been number one based on popularity why I was asking.
It's actually doing quite well on the list. It's like like fifth or something.
But
that specific Lord of the Rings movie that Trey said is number one.
Wow. Okay. Good guess, Trey.
Maybe people looking up that because the show is so popular, that's driving them to look up the movies.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything more. We're going to go back to you, Sam, for your second guess. It's a very tight matchup, but Trey is in the lead.
Wow. I can't. Yeah. This is some bizarre universe stuff. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah. Well,
Trey, you're probably using good luck here that you could be using like on the lottery or something that would actually improve your life.
Seriously. Although this is probably way more fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I will say the Japanese film that The Ring is based on called Ringu.
You know, Sam, why do you have to be like so smart and such a show off? Ringu is number two on the list.
Stop.
Five it's only, more points for Sam.
Only because I know if you search for Pulse, the Japanese horror remake that I was in, Cairo, the Japanese film, always comes up with it.
I see.
That's why I placed the logic.
Yeah. Excellent work. Dan? Dan, have you thought of any other?
Yes. And I can't believe I said Bling Ring is obviously the second most iconic Ring movie. But I did say that and it was recorded.
You did,
Okay. So I think I know the answer to this question, but sequels... it's just literally what comes up, right? So sequels are allowed. So I'm either going to say, I guess I'll say Return of the King. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
This is where we take an interesting turn because that movie did not crack the top six.
Wow. It won Best Picture.
Yeah. It has to settle for that. For whatever reason, other Ring movies are getting more attention on IMDb. Trey, what have you got? What do you got?
Well, I got two, and one of them is a Lord of the Rings movie. The other one, surprisingly, is not.
Yeah, well.
So it's which one to go with, especially after Daniel's failed attempt there. I'm going to go with the Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
You know, maybe it's just the expression Two Towers is like gone out of favor or something, but for whatever reason, it is also not.
Oh, I just blew it.
Six. I don't know if you blew it. You still got a third chance. Now we have to see, though, if Sam can make his lead even more harder to surpass.
Well,
by naming yet another.
I think we're out of movies with Ring in the title that I can think of, except the Naomi Watts sequel, The Ring 2.
Yeah.
We're stuck on these Japanese horror movies today.
Yeah. She did two of those, and The Ring 2 came in at number 5. Sam,
again,
two more points. I don't think you can be beat at this point. What else have you got, Dan? Did you think of any more?
Yeah, I got one. I feel fairly confident about this, which is the Lord of the Rings, the, I believe, 70s animated feature.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Ralph Bakshi. Unfortunately, no.
Okay. Oh.
But that was a good idea. Yeah. You definitely win most effort.
Man, and I normally get that one. Way to go, Dan.
Yeah. That's what I'm in this for.
All right, Trey. If you name the only one left on the board is number 6 of the 6. And so even if you name it, it's not going to be enough points to surpass Sam. But
I can't believe Sam and his Ring movies.
You have a guess. Go ahead. And
all 3 of them.
Ring of Fire.
I like that as an answer, but it did not make the cut. Number 6. This is another thing, is there's like recently made movies that nobody's heard of still managed to crack these things. And apparently in 2021, a movie came out called Ring of Desire.
Oh, how is that better than Ring of Fire?
I didn't say it was better.
Oh yeah, I get it.
I said more people are searching it. But yeah. People are probably like, no, Ring of Fire. And like, I gotta find out about this Ring of Desire. Because that sounds better than a Ring of Fire. What's that?
Is Ring of Desire a movie I should have heard of?
That's what I'm saying. Is it like it like slipped out in 2021, might even be foreign or something. Hmm. But yeah, I did not expect anyone to pull that one. So congratulations, Sam Levine. You are our winner once again.
I got lucky with the Rings movies, the non-Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, that's there was definitely a big not only a big score with getting the 6 points for naming Fellowship of the Rings, but a Trey Gallion of all people to be the first one to name a Lord of the Rings movie in a Rings game. And then also somehow pick the only one that made the.
Right. I will say I got lucky with going where I had to go, that they both said the other 2 Lord of the Rings movies before I could. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. Really helps you out there, Sam, which is what often happens when Sam wins, is because others lose. Oh, Sam,
I got lucky. Yeah.
Sam, what have you got to promote? Promote yourself, buddy.
Hey, I don't know when, but Minx is back. That's right. Yay! HBO Max, to hell with you.
That's so exciting that they just Minx found a new home. Because that, a lot of times when people are like, we're trying to find a new place for it, it just doesn't work out because it's like, the old place doesn't want to just give it away easily,
Right. Yes.
So it's a whole entanglement.
Yes, it usually is. But in this case, it was I'm happy to say, a relatively seamless transition. Minx season 2 will, at some point to be determined in the future, air on Stars.
Yeah. So we got to get Minx comes out, we got to get a trial to watch Stars.
Yep. Definitely, that's the time to do it.
That's one of the ones I've held out on and never actually purchased. I just get just figure out ways to watch the occasional good thing that shows up there. Yep. But they're getting more good things, obviously, because I love season one of Minx and look forward to more. It was just crazy the way they shot the entire season. They were like on their second to last day of shooting or something when they decided to say they didn't want to air it.
Yeah, they tried to Batgirl Minx season two, but we said no.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Dan Peralt, Players is on Paramount Plus, and you can purchase it to own. Do you think there's fun extras and stuff on the Blu-ray?
Oh my God, I live for the extras on the two shows that I've done because it's all of my cut jokes. It is like 80% of my material, it is on the extras. So I'm not just plugging Players, but specifically plugging the extras.
Okay. Check out the Player extras, and thanks for doing this. And we'll get Tony on sometime soon, and maybe together, maybe separate. I don't know what. Anything could happen. Trey Gallion.
Yo.
Dude, yeah. You were a champion for a second there.
I was, and I hung in there today. Sam's the champion for a reason.
Yeah. No, miracle pull today on the Lord of the Rings. The Fellowship, if you will. Trey Gallion on all the socials, Gallion.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not Gallion.
You got, what did I say? Do you have...
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay, and you got any shows coming up?
I do. I got some exciting stuff. May the 12th and 13th in Raleigh, and then Austin, May 19th and 20th, finally at the New Cap City. My home club, I get to check out the new room, and we're going to record those shows for the Helium guys and see what comes out.
Oh, make a little album.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, hopefully.
All right. Yeah.
I like the stuff that I'm working on now. And then, yeah, so I'll be doing a bunch of shows around New York, especially leading up until then, and get some more road stuff. So you guys just keep checking all my social stuff, and I'll keep you updated there. Just got done with some fun shows in Knoxville. That was a great time.
Right on.
Yeah.
Next Dynasty Typewriter show in LA is on Sunday, February 5th at 4:20. And Sam Levine will I'll hit you up to have you back on the show real soon.
Okay.
And thanks, Dan Peralt, Sam Levine, Trey Gallion. As always, I want you to have a good life. Be happy. Salute.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room